You're listening to Earthbound Podcast. Conversations in magic, mystery, and the everyday. My name's Emma, and you're listening to Earthbound Podcast. Here we get to talk about all the cool and weird stuff that we get to experience whilst we're living on Earth as human beings. Do you want to grab a cup of tea and join me? Then we'll get right to it.
Since I had my birth chart read with you for my birthday, you recommended that I listen to Soberish, and I kind of tried listening to it before, and I was really struggling with getting my head around it, but I just wasn't finding it super interesting, I think, because I started from the beginning. And then since you recommended it, I've just been absolutely loving it. I can't stop listening to it because it's great.
Oh, good. I can't even.
She's so funny.
Yeah.
And there's so much weird stuff going on in the world as I have no reason to disbelieve her. Everything she's saying makes perfect sense, especially when she talks about it in terms of stuff happening over different periods of time, stuff happening in 2012 and then last year, and it all kind of really adds up to what happened in my life as well, so that's quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
How, if you don't mind me asking, how did you get into doing astrology and the stuff that you do?
So I was 0% bought into any of this quote unquote woo stuff most of my life. I'm a Capricorn rising, and Capricorn is earthy and businessy and rational and likes that tangible mm-hmm. aspect of our experience. And then I had my kids, and I had a really hard time with my mental health especially after my second kid, because I had a colicky baby and a 2.5-year-old at home.
Aww.
And it was super intense. Oh, and I now realize that I have always had anxiety my whole life. I had insomnia ever since I was a kid, and now looking back on it, I see some instances that were definitely panic attacks that I didn't realize were. And so the postpartum period just ramped it all up. And so I slowly I went on meds, and that gave me the space to start reading Eckhart Tolle and Michael Singer and Gary Zukav and all these mindfulness, be in the present moment,
mm-hmm.
with an open heart chakra, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My little sister is a yoga teacher, so
that's quite cool.
Yeah, all sorts of books and stuff come in. And so I went through this whole process and discovered yoga and meditation and just all this stuff. And then for fun, and I came at it from a pretty sciencey perspective, Deepak Chopra and stuff,
yeah.
and quantum physics and stuff. And then I thought it would be fun to buy my little sister a natal chart reading for her birthday. And then I got myself one too, because it's more fun when we both do it. And I sit down, and this astrologer looks at me and tells me all about my Pisces moon and how I need that quiet time, that meditative space, that yeah. Spiritual connection. Is your moon is your core needs for self-care. And she sits there and tells me all this stuff, which it took me years to discover all that and start my healing journey. And it just blew my mind that she could just read that from the chart. And I had no clue that astrology was it just seemed fun. And I heard people talk about it, I had no idea. And, the rest of the reading she gave my sister and me was so accurate. And so then I just went home and immediately started reading on it, and very quickly became completely obsessed. And as I've continued my healing journey, it's a slippery slope into all sorts of fun woo and magical stuff. And I'm in a really amazing Reiki class right now.
Oh, brilliant.
Next level. And definitely part of my healing journey, I can tell.
Oh, that's cool.
So here we are.
I was kind of a bit annoyed when I found out what my birth chart was because I wanted some more Pisces stuff. I think my Saturn is in Pisces. And I was like, oh, that's boring. I kind of wanted some more like exciting stuff. And then I found out more about the houses and Mercury's in the 12th house. And I was like, I like this. I like this. Mm-hmm. And it's so much information. Like so much information, and it's so exciting to like learn about like all the different things. And then like once you've learned about the planets, you learn about the houses. Well, you don't have to do it in that order, but then to know that there's different parts of your like life that can be. Oh, I was gonna talk about the asteroids. So I heard you on Manna's podcast, The Real Witches of the End Times, and I heard you talking about the asteroid goddesses, and I was like, the episode is called Querying the Asteroid Goddesses, and it's really, really good. And since that moment I was like, I need to find out more about this. And I thought it was really cool because like my birth chart, like with just the planets in it, to me, like it obviously makes some sense, but like when I put all the asteroids in that I thought were relevant to me, like you can see these like patterns start to form and like these like shapes that I didn't see before, and like it kind of links up different parts of like my birth chart that like kind of I wouldn't thought of linking up, and like it's really, really interesting. Can you talk a bit more about the asteroid goddess? It's not like in the depth of like that podcast because people can listen to that.
Sure, yeah. They are planetoids that there are a ton of them in a whole belt out there, but some of the biggest ones that were discovered first have been really this woman, Demetra George, this amazing astrologer, did all this work on them and wrote these books. And since then they've gained momentum with other astrologers, and they are this more feminine aspects of the consciousness. So much of traditional astrology is very masculine and yang oriented, and because the astrology that we have now has been mostly male dominated, and the asteroid goddesses are some more feminine aspects of ourselves, more of that yin, more of that right brain, holistic perspective and way of experience. And these asteroids aren't as significant as the main planets, but when they are prominent in your chart, that is, they're like conjunct or right next to like your moon or your sun or your ascendant or whatever, you are definitely going to experience those archetypes during this life. And so many people right now are kind of reawakening to their more sacred feminine aspects as that energy is growing and really coming back to the collective more. Mm-hmm. And so you see all these people, male, female, everyone experiencing these other sides of themselves, and asteroid goddesses kind of give you clues where it's happening for you in your chart.
Thank you since listening to that episode, I got the book that you recommended on there, Mysteries of the Dark Moon by Demetra George, and it's so like yummy and like nutritious. I feel like it's something that I needed to read, like something that I kind of, maybe something that I knew was happening all along, because I think she talks about the age of Pisces and like how sort of since a certain time in ancient Greece, like that sort of start of like patriarchal rule in like society, and how that has affected how we respond maybe to sort of feminine energies and feminine power, And when I talk about feminine, when we talk about feminine and masculine, it's not just about men, male and female. It's about like the energies inside everybody. So like, I'm non-binary, so like, I don't personally identify as a woman, but like, I have still have like men, masculine and feminine energies inside me. So my first house is in Scorpio. So like, as far as I'm aware, that's to do with like identity and like sort of the I mm-hmm. aspect of yourself, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not as in eyes, as in like I am. And like, I think recently I've been like really like feeling into that like darker feminine energy of something that maybe I'd kind of not pushed away, but like something that maybe pushed away, that is maybe the right word, but something that I'd kind of distanced myself from for quite a while. And now I've really tried to like embrace that aspect of me, not necessarily like in an external feminine way, but like internally, like sort of really feeling into parts of me that that are kind of not even necessarily feminine, what we'd initially think about as like feminine stuff, but like really stuff about like the life, death and rebirth cycle, and like that sort of like, so I can't remember what I was gonna say.
That book resonated with you, and I'm not surprised because you have all that Scorpio in your first house. So that Scorpio energy is definitely something you need to be embracing and exploring. Mm-hmm. Super fun is right now Mercury is retrograde in Scorpio. Oh. So that's like extra activating all your Scorpio energy, and that's when it's retrograde, it's a little more internal and reflective.
Yeah, I like that version of retrograde. Like, often people describe Mercury retrograde as like this like awful time, but I know that it's not actually an awful time. It's like more of a internal reflecting time. I some reason that just like sat with me in a nice way.
Oh, good. Yeah. Retrogrades, there's all sorts of different ways to interpret them, but it happens because from our perspective, Mercury, whatever planet's retrograde, is the closest to us that it is during its whole cycle. So it actually, it's in the same way that like when you're in a vehicle next to another vehicle, and when one goes forward and the other's not, you feel like you're going backwards. It's that same trick of perspective that makes it look like it's going backwards, but it's actually just really extra close to us. So we're extra getting that energy. But on the chart, it does go backwards because it's all flat and... So it's like two layers of complication, and it fascinates me. I still don't have like as deep an understanding of retrogrades as I want to, but I don't think any astrologer does. So.
That's reasonable. I was trying to record, well, my friend was trying to record a podcast with me on it the other day. And like we had it because Mercury also rules, he rules communication and also possibly technology, I think. And we were... we were trying to get something to work, and we just couldn't get the headphones and the microphone to like collaborate. So in the end, we just kind of had to do it on a different recording thing. But like, I feel like even though that's, I don't, whether that could have happened with outside of Mercury retrograde or what, like it kind of, I think sometimes it can invite you to be like, almost like, to sort of throw out what you think is going to be and sort of like embrace fluidity in what the possibilities of what could be. That was a very convoluted sentence, but like sort of just be like flexible.
Yeah, you just have to flow, just go with it. Yeah, and you're like having to just revisit and reevaluate stuff and like slow down. Uh-huh. And in our culture, we just want to go. So when the planets energy is making you slow down, if you don't slow down, stuff starts going wrong.
I've been feeling that, like, because Mars has been in retrograde as well, hasn't it? Is it finished retrograding, or is it still
not yet?
Like last week, I think it was, I think I think I mentioned it to you, but like I just couldn't do, like, I don't normally have an awful lot of like, well, it depends, like I didn't have anything in my diary for the sort of the first half of the week, but like I knew that it was just like not time to be inside, and just like I went outside and just like explored for like 3 days straight, and it was really, really nice to just sort of be outside, especially in autumn time, because like the sun was so lovely for those 3 days, and like normally it's not always that nice in autumn, so it was just really nice to like embrace the energy that I felt instead of like forcing myself to sort of do stuff on the computer, to just sort of go with how I felt and just go outside. It was nice. Mm-hmm. And I'm really lucky that I can do that. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I can be flexible. But like it's really quite nice, because I've been kind of like finding ways to like relate the sort of energies in my birth chart with the energies that sort of like with tarot, and then like and then sort of also in real life. So like I have quite a lot of earth in my chart, but then I like my sun and my moon are earth, and then I've got like my rising and my moon are air, and then I've got a lot of water. I found out recently, well it wasn't that recently, but I found out that the tree alder has like doesn't rot in water, so like its roots, it often grows near water, and it like its roots grow in the water. And I spoke about this on my podcast that I made the other day with Olga, that it used to be made into boats, and apparently Venice is built on a lot of alder wood, because it's like it's quite happy in the water. And I like that idea of like roots of a tree, like the tree is the earth and the roots growing into the water, which I like the symbolism of that is just really, really nice.
Oh, I like that a lot for you. That's really
Thank
cool.
You. That's why I named my new, well, it's not new, but like tarot, is it a brand? I don't know if is that the right name. Like my name of my tarot practice is Alder Tarot, which I think is quite cool.
Oh yes, oh that's so cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I love the crossover between tarot and astrology. Same. Just got yet another tarot and astrology book.
Nice.
Because once you have those correlations with the cards, it just like doubles down on all the meanings and
mm-hmm,
messages.
Mm-hmm. Like for people that don't know much about tarot, like so, I don't. Is it all the tarot cards or like just some of the tarot cards?
I only really know the major arcana, yeah, but all. Do have associations, and I'm just starting to learn.
Whoa,
those.
That's cool.
It's blowing my mind already.
So that like the tarot in the tarot is broken down into four suits, which are the pentacles, the swords, cups, and wands, which all correspond to their own element. So like pentacles is earth, swords is air, wands is fire, and cups are water. I think maybe the cups the easiest to understand, and I think I still like haven't fully grasped the idea of wands, but I think I don't know I think it kind of sometimes it can make sense depending on the reading, but like I think because I don't have like much fire, I don't think I have any fire except my midhaven in my chart, it might be something that like it's not very familiar to me, because it's just like something that I don't really have much experience with, maybe, but obviously it might be not with that, but it might be also.
Yeah. Well, and everyone has all the elements in their chart. You don't have planets
like houses,
but, houses, so you do have areas of your life that are a little fiery, but it's not the elements that you're supposed to be really leaning into.
Mm-hmm. I don't know much about that, so that's good to learn. But yeah, like, what's your favorite tarot card?
Oh my goodness.
Or what one comes up for you that you're like, oh wow, that really.
Yeah, I'll say I've been really getting the moon a lot and connecting with that a lot, because I have a Pisces moon. And I'm sitting, I've been like us doing so much healing with that over the past like I don't know, 3 or 4 years with all my Pisces energy. But I did name my astrology practice as Queen of Wands Astrology because I am trying to find my fire, which I do have fire in my chart, but it's been kind of drowned by all the watery struggles of the past several years. And so I've been really working on rekindling my fire and finding that like passion and motivation.
That's really cool. I like that idea of rekindling the fire because I do you know Lindsay Mack on Tarot for the Wild Soul? She was talking about the wands as in like it, for some people it can be like a big bonfire, but then for other people it can be like a hot coal or like an ember. And I really like that idea that like for different people it can be a different energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then my new book was saying also equating it with spiritual enlightenment and like that drive for spiritual enlightenment.
I like that.
A new one for me, but
that resonates with me as well because like I don't necessarily have a lot of like super drive to like go out into the world and do things, even though kind of maybe I am. I mean, does podcast count as going out into the world and do things? Because that feels very mercurial to me. And like, where is Mercury? Mercury's in my 12th house, Libra. What was I saying? But yeah, like my Mars is in my 9th house, which is ruled by Sagittarius, is it not? And then that can be to do with like seeking, like understanding of like the bigger picture of stuff. So like my Mars is in Cancer as well, so like I feel like that's quite relevant.
Well, you are like exploring those philosophies and concepts but through a watery energy.
I like that.
And that can be like a Mars in Cancer can be pretty intuitive as well.
I really feel that
your Mercury is in your 12th, so that's also like when your Mercury is in your 12th, you're just your mind operates on a slightly different dimension a lot of other people's, and it just is. And that's why, I mean, it's so cool. I really enjoyed listening to your podcast with Manna and just the way you explained. I just was listening to it and I was just like, oh my God, she's explaining the Mercury 12th house so well. Perceptions and like, I don't like how you interact with nature and like perceive stuff in nature.
Oh, that's really lovely. I'm glad you like that. I can't remember exactly what I said, but like especially because mine's in Libra, I think it like there's kind of like for me there's like a balance between like dipping into like other worlds and then kind of coming back. And like I think that's what I said to Manna, that like it's kind of about, for me it's about like spending a lot of time in like the underworld, the other world, like other layers of reality, and then coming back and bringing aspects of that back to share with other people.
I like that. Well, and that Saturn in Pisces, I think you're on to something, because one aspect of the Pisces archetype is once you achieve that awareness and transcendence to some degree, and have that spiritual connection, you then have that awareness of us all being one, and then have that urge to turn around and reach back and help others.
Is that more Saturn-y?
And so that's the Pisces energy. And then the Saturn there, Saturn's karma and like what you're here to really do and explore. And if it's just Saturn in a sign, sometimes it can take you a little while in your life to get comfortable with that energy. Yeah. Can kind of delay sometimes, but then ultimately it becomes your deep life's work.
Oh, nice. It's not as boring as I thought.
That's not the lightest, happiest, funnest planet always, but it is definitely an energy that you're here to really work That's with cool. and you can achieve in your lifetime.
That's a good way of looking at it. I like that. And also, like, I've heard that it's can be to do with like boundaries and like limitations, but like the idea that Pisces as well is quite like formless and like expansive, but then kind of like those two opposing things kind of bring it together in some kind of like kind of a structure to like infiniteness and kind of finding a kind of balance or like going between the two there, I think there might be something in that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tricky placement, but it can, yeah, and bring some structure to that spiritual energy. Mm-hmm. Kind of give it a little, somewhat of a form.
Somewhat.
Well, and you have kind of the same thing playing out with your moon in Capricorn that's conjunct Neptune, mm-hmm. and Uranus. That's kind of still that Neptune moon conjunction, because Neptune rules Pisces in modern astrology, mm-hmm. and that's more of that interplay between that earthy Capricorn, but then the Neptune moon Uranus, mm-hmm. which is kind of almost intangible and hard to pin down energy.
I like that. Also, Capricorn, the goat, has a fish tail. There's definitely something in that, isn't there?
Yes, and something overlooked. And I think in our current world, we're so productivity focused that the Capricorn energy can be like, okay, I know how to achieve. And it wants to, that goat part wants to climb the mountain. But unless you're really intentional about what your goal is at the top of the mountain, you find yourself having these more like 3D material goals that you work really hard to achieve, and then once you get up there, it's not ultimately soul satisfying. So when Capricorns are more soulful and spiritual, they do have great drive to pursue those spiritual aspects of life. It's really interesting. I'm still playing with that. I have Capricorn placements as well. I'm actually being Capricornus for Halloween, the constellation that Capricorn is named
for.
That's
really cool.
My daughter wanted our family to be spooky mermaids. Aww. And I was like, oh, great. I know exactly what I'm doing with this.
That's a really nice way of thinking about that, though. That's quite cool.
Yeah.
So, what's the rest of your family going as?
Everyone has skeleton shirts, and the girls and I have mermaid print leggings, nice. And my husband has some weird looser fitting, I don't even know how to describe, like some weird blue, like very strange fabric that's going to be, you know, and then we all have different colored wigs.
Oh my God, that sounds awesome. I might even do the same. I'm not going anywhere or doing anything I can think of for Halloween. My friends floated the idea of dressing up as plants and watching something on Netflix, which sounds great in my opinion, but like they're so hard to pin down that it might not happen. So, but like I like the idea of spooky mermaid. That's really fun.
Yeah, they suggested that, and I locked in. I was like, done. We aren't going back. We're committed.
That's great. Oh my God, what a great parenting vibe. That's really fun. I went trick-or-treating last year because my partner at the time has a kid, and like it was really exciting to go trick-or-treating because like I didn't really go trick-or-treating as a kid. My mom didn't really like the idea of it, and we used to have like this one group of like they were all in one family. It was just like a family of friends of family, my mum's friend had children, that's what I'm trying to say, and they always used to come around, and like we used to have like an internal house Halloween party, and like I really enjoyed that, and like I'm honestly not mad that I missed out on trick-or-treating because like I did it a bit when I was older, and it's not really that fun, but like I think that the sort of inside house Halloween is kind of my vibe anyway, so that's
pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we're doing this year because of COVID.
Yeah, I understand that. A couple of years ago, I had like a sort of, I was at uni, so I was by myself in the house, and like I did, I always cook for myself, but I made tea for me and my ancestors, and like invited them to tea, and I thought that was really nice, like my bright and well ancestors joined me for tea, which is really cool.
Love that. Yeah, I'm kind of bummed that we're hosting like kids and friends on Halloween because it's the full moon here on the east, and I have some stuff going on in my chart, and so I'm gonna do like a ritual the next day. Yeah. But like, you guys are interfering with my full moon.
Could you like do something with the kids with that, or like with
that? I don't know. It's the Halloween hype is just gonna be too much.
Crazy.
There's no space for mommy's moon.
That's fair. It's like some peace and quiet for you. Yeah, that'll be nice that we get a chance.
Yeah. Do you do moon rituals?
I do sometimes. Like sometimes I think just the energy of the moon is just like a lot anyway. Like I used to try and do stuff on the full moon and the new moon, but like I normally have like just a very, very like normally it'll be that I'm aware of the new like the full moon or the new moon, and then like I just don't sleep very well around those times. So like I end up just like not being in the right headspace to sort of like do that kind of stuff. But like the other day, no, it wasn't the other day, it was like maybe a month ago, it was the new moon, so it was really dark out and the stars were so like bright because there was no moon. And I went outside and there's a field by my house, and I went outside and like just I think it was Venus or Mars that I saw, and it just like it made me think of like all that sort of like drama that was going on at the time with the like apparently they found life on Venus or something. And then like it made me really cross because like I feel like there's always someone who like wants to like mine the moon or like something like that, and I just got really like all these poems just fell out of me. So like I feel like I don't really do rituals per se anymore, but like I'm always doing something magical, like something kind of I like working with the energy rather than like ritually doing stuff, because like, it's not really stuff that I feel called to do.
Where it leads you. Interestingly, your moon Neptune Uranus conjunction is in your third house, and third house is about writing, like studying and learning, but also writing and communicating
Gemini,
and
messaging.
It's associated with Gemini.
Air and Mercury.
So having the moon in your third house, like you have an intuitive writing style, like it just comes
I like that. And I think you might have heard the on the other episode where I was talking about that poem that I was writing, and this word came to me that was actually turns out was something in ancient Welsh, but like which I thought was really cool. But like that kind of stuff seems to be quite a thing that is happening quite a lot. Like stuff comes to me that like I'm in like this is not quite the same, but like I remember when I was younger, me and my sister used to sing to each other in like a different language, which I kind of thinking about it like might have been something that I used to know, that like that I can like that I could like remember from a different time, but like it was never like. And also it's really cute that we used to sing like
that's
cool. Thank you. I can't remember what to say. Sometimes when she's in the house, like she doesn't live with us, but like when she comes around, sometimes like we'll be in separate rooms and she'll just like start singing downstairs and I'll just start singing with her. Whereas like we kind of weren't friends for a while, but now we're sort of like starting to be friends again. But it's really weird that we'll just start singing to each other, and like not in like a real singing way, like but like
weird.
Yeah. Or like, you know, the sort of people like make bird noises and scream at each other, that kind of stuff.
I have a sister too, and we definitely I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's really funny. Your sister. Sorry?
How many years apart are you?
2 and 3. Like kind of I'm 3 years for like I'm September and then she's January, so it's like 3 for like 4 months, 5 months, and then it's 2.
Yeah, so you guys are pretty close.
Yeah, quite. It's really weird because like I went back to uni, and like I kind of didn't go straight to uni after like college, and like it's kind of weird having friends that are like younger than my sister. Like it's really weird because like obviously she's like my little sister, and then I've got like friends who are born before, like born after her, and I'm like that's really bizarre. But like I think it's funny. Like especially I had like one friend is just like I think they've only just turned 21, so like it's really weird. Like, these people are younger than my sister. I don't know why that's weird. That's that weird, but like, that other people exist of different ages. I just find it very funny.
Changes the perspective, because I definitely know what you mean. When I started like having coworkers who I was becoming friends with, and I'd find out they were my sister's age, who's years younger than me, I'd be like, oh my gosh, what? And then it kind of hurt in perspective for me. They're like, oh, you're becoming an adult now.
It's still weird. Like, we still like, well, we were talking, I went to someone's house for tea the other day, and like, we were still talking about like school ages and how like the years of school like related to how like we were trying to work out how many years different apart we were in school years. It's like we still measure ourselves in like something that we're not even at anymore, but it's, I think it's really weird and funny.
But you do for so many years, and like during your formative years, that's such a big mm-hmm. deal. It makes that still like in your psyche.
It's quite nice to like form relationships with the people that are like different ages to you, though, because like it also kind of, I think in a way, like when you're at school and you don't necessarily get to interact with people that are different ages from you, it can be quite limiting, because like as you get older, not everyone in your age group is sort of like who you can relate to. So it's quite nice to be able to sort of like make friends with other people after, as you become an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I think like we evolutionarily we're supposed to be in a more community yeah. setting, and we're supposed to grow up around a variety of ages yeah. and I think it's weird that we stick them all together at the exact same age mm-hmm. and like there aren't older kids for them to look up to and learn yeah. from, you know. I don't know, to me it's such a like just cram them all in there and let them battle it out and put a couple of adults to, like keep them in line, but I don't know. It seems so strange.
It's really weird. Like my mum said that when she was at school, they used to have at dinner time, they used to have like there would be like a group of them that would all sit at the table, that they got put in like groups of children, and like there'd be a groups from all different ages, and that like the oldest kid would serve them all on the table, and like everyone would like who didn't know each other from like class and stuff would sit together, and like I think that's really like wholesome, because I remember being at primary school and I was absolutely terrified of like the people that were like older than me, and then going to secondary school I was still terrified of like the year 11s because they were terrifying. And then
yeah when I was a camp counselor, that's how they did it. They would assign tables and rotate each week, and like all different ages all together, and then you would see the sweetest little friendships aww. Come up between like the bigger girls and the little girls, and it was adorable. And
then you get to learn from like people who have already done stuff that you're kind of struggling mm-hmm. with, and I think that's really important.
Yeah,
that's really nice.
Yeah, I hope we are trending back in a bit more of a like community oriented way of living.
I would like to think so. This just reminds me of what Jessa on Soberish what she was yeah. saying about like just sort of basically like phasing out the government and just sort of like doing it all ourselves, which I think is quite like, I mean, the UK government has just like loads of the Tories just like voted disproportionately to stop giving free school dinners to children like at school, and it's just like all the community seems to be like providing this now, and it's like, first of all, like the taxpayers, like literally everyone is paying for the government to pay the children to have lunch, and now also the people that voted against that are able to claim back their food money, so it's like it doesn't quite add up. But then like the community is basically just going to pay, like all these like shops and stuff have been like, oh, we'll support the children, we'll give out free school meals but like during the holidays and stuff, and like it kind of feels like the government's kind of redundant. Is that the right word? Like making itself redundant on those things, because it's just sort of like, we don't want to feed the children, but then like they're kind of just taking that away from themselves as like a thing, and now people are doing it, but like it's kind of nice, but also kind of obviously it's horrible that they're choosing to make that decision, but like it's kind of nice that the community is supporting the children.
Yeah, well, I mean, it lets you know where the government's priorities
right?
are,
right? It's really messed up, really messed up. On a less depressing note, I can't think of anything else.
Well, so how have you been doing lately? Because the planets in Capricorn are all up on your moon. Like Pluto is exactly on your Uranus right now, and Jupiter is exactly on your Neptune. Yeah. And so this could be some intense, but also like evolutionary, like deep personal growth kind of energy. So, and like awakening energy.
Like a couple of weeks ago, I was really feeling like really, really deep in like magic. Like magic had like I was underwater, but like the water was magic, and like everywhere was like really, really. This is when I recorded the podcast with Mana, and I'd had like these weird spirit experiences that I haven't usually had. And then like in the last kind of maybe 3 weeks, it's just all stopped, and it's like I feel really like I don't know, it feels kind of like there's a lot of like, I feel like there's like feelings of like, I don't know how to describe it, kind of like I've done something wrong for that to have happened, but then I'm like, no, I need to relax into that like ebb and flow of that kind of stuff. It's not going to be always intense. It's like it's gonna flow. And I think that's like maybe the feeling of the moment, that I need to like relax into what's happening and like not try and force it, because obviously if you're trying to force it, then it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, well, sorry, go on.
I like what Jessa says about like when you have increases in awareness and that kind of thing, it'll come on really strong, but then it kind of goes back to give your physical body time to integrate and adjust, and then it just becomes like a tool in your repertoire instead of being quite as overwhelming as it can be at first.
I like that. That feels quite appropriate then, if that's the case. And also like I feel like quite a lot of stuff is going down in my dream space, because it's really weird. Like normally I remember my dreams like crystal clear, and then the last couple of, maybe the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's kind of been that I've woken up and not remembered my dreams. But then like later on in the day, like I'll just suddenly kind of remember a symbol from the dream, and it'll be really significant. Like the other day, I didn't remember my dream, which is like really weird for me. Like normally I always remember my dreams, and then I remembered halfway through the day because I saw one out the window. I saw a bird out the window, and then I was like, oh yeah, I dreamt about Red Wings, the bird. There was two Red Wings, and they were like really affectionate to each other, and I thought that was quite a significant dream, even though I didn't quite know the symbol, what it meant, but like it felt quite interesting. And also I did a tarot reading for myself, and let the devil card come up, and I was like, I'm kind of in, like I can like logically explain what the devil card might mean, but like it doesn't necessarily mean it fits with what it is that I like feel. So I slept with it under my pillow, and I was like, I want to sort of try and understand this more in my dream. And I had a dream that I was like in a relationship, but I was sort of with this like with this girl, and she isn't really like the type of person that I would go for normally, and she was really like withholding affection from me, and like really like teasing me, but in like a controlling way. And I knew that it wasn't right for me, and I kept sort of like trying to go, and then I kept going back to her, and like I woke up and I was like, how am I giving my power away? That's what that card means for me. And like it was really like, whilst I was in the dream, I kind of didn't think about it, and then when I woke up I was like, that's exactly what it means. And it was really like it felt really significant.
Ooh, I love that you do all that dream work. That's so Mercury 12.
Thank you.
That's really neat. I've never thought to put a card under my pillow and ask for clarification, but that's,
well, I'd never thought about doing that before, but like it just kind of like I kind of work with a lot of crystals in my dreams, like so I figured why not do it with a tarot card. Like I have these oracle this oracle deck that's like a chakra deck. It's called the Kaleidoscope deck. It's really nice. And I tried doing that a couple of times, and it was just like the energy was so intense from these cards that like I had to move them out of my bed in the nighttime because it was just, I couldn't sleep.
Oh wow.
Like certain crystals, like it's really weird because like I'm really drawn to certain crystals, but like I know there's certain crystals that I absolutely cannot have in my bed space. Like I have to keep them in my wardrobe because they're too intense. And like I've been kind of figuring out recently what ones work really nicely to, because like some I like having next to my bed, but like I won't have in my bed because they have like really really strong medicine that like I can't handle the dreams that come with them. But then I need like a more gentle stone. Like I've been having lapidolite recently. That one's quite a nice one for like a gentle dream, because I was having really intense dreams and I was like, I need to like tone these down a little bit because it's just getting too intense. And then I've got like I think it's a pink moss agate, and that one I love sleeping with. It's so like, it feels so gentle, and also it feels really like grounding, which I really enjoy sleeping with.
Oh, I love that you're so tuned into crystal energy. I love that. I mean, that's, you have all that earth energy. It's so interesting the way like your earth energy does not manifest as it does in other people often, because you have so much, like with your Chiron there conjunct your earthy sun, and then Neptune Uranus conjunct your earthy moon. It's just such a like energetic earthiness. It's really,
I like cool. That. When you did my birth chart reading, I think you were like, so you're quite organized and like do it like very, I can't remember exactly what you said, but like I was like, no, that's not the case at all. And you were like, you had to like kind of like hold up and just like reset like what you were going to go in for. And I really liked that there was like a moment of like, you had to kind of like switch it up, and it, like you really kind of went at it from a completely different angle, but it really worked. I really like that.
Yeah, you never know, because I sit before I see a client and then I start talking to them, and like I kind of have my preconceived notions about what they're going to be like and this earth sign energy. But it makes so much more sense, because you're like having your Chiron conjunct your sun makes you very energetically sensitive and aware. And because you really feel like the trees and the plants and stuff, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, that's so cool.
Thank you. Like, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, like the other day I woke up and like, do you ever wake up and you have like these sentences like in your brain or like your mouth that you just need to like write down? I had one come up about like the ash tree, and I can't remember what it was. I'm just trying to see if I can find it, but I think it might be in my other notebook. I don't think this is it, but I have written ash tree is a guide, guardian. And I put huge old ash tree, ancient, underline, watches your body as you descend on your journey, travel. So I think that's quite, but like,
yes.
Sorry, go on.
No, keep going.
like there's kind of like there's an ash tree outside my house to sort of like one side, and then I've got a sycamore tree right next to the house, and then like in the field there's like an oak tree. And the other day I realized they like make a nice triangle, and I was like, I'm right in the middle of that triangle. I was like, that's really nice. I feel like I've been like kept safe on all sides by all these trees.
Oh, I love that. Very cool. And also I bet that you, with all your Scorpio in your first house, that it's also the like cyclical nature of like our earth that speaks to you too.
In what way? Like the sort of life, death, rebirth kind of.
Yeah, like that dark goddess mm-hmm. aspect of it all.
So last week, I think it was, I found, so there's this where I like to walk, there's these these two fields, and they have, so like they've got, there's like a brook on one side that kind of goes along the bottom of them, and then between the two fields there's like a slight valley, and it's got like a little stream that runs through. So it's got, it's not part of the field, and it's got trees on because it's like, so it's quite a deep valley. It's not that deep, but like it's quite, it's not farmed land. And I went in there the other day, and like I walked past it like literally every day in lockdown, and then I went in the other day, and it was so much bigger on the inside than I thought it was going to be. Like I just thought it'd be like a couple of trees, and like, but like it was like a whole other world. Like it was like, it felt really dark magically, if that makes sense. Like it didn't feel like, it felt like it felt like a fairy realm. And like I was a bit, I didn't actually, I needed to eat something, but I actually didn't eat until I left, because I was like, I don't want to get stuck here. And like it was, I had like a really weird experience that like my human brain, like it was, it brought up some like really human stuff for me. Like it felt very like, I kind of, in that moment, I understood why like the sort of Anglo-Saxons chopped down all the forest. Like it made so much sense to me. And I was like this human part of my brain, this kind of like very like primal panic, it was like, these trees are feeding on death. And like it was really freaking out, like this part of my brain, I had to like calm it down. But it's also really weird, because like I'm really into like that cycle of like life, death and rebirth, and like it really resonates with me. And then like I had this really like, this like kind of like inner human panic that just came up, and it was like, you could die here and no one would know. And like it was really freaky out, and I had to like really like tone it down and like relax it. But like I'm kind of glad that that came up, because maybe it needed to come up to sort of like, to sort of be validated, for it to like be released in that way. Because like it kind of felt really not dangerous, but like almost like it was so wild, the space was so wild, that it was like nothing I've ever experienced. And like I've been in quite a lot of woods and stuff, but it was like basically untouched. There was so much death there that it was like, there was so much death that like it was so alive because there was so much death.
Oh, I like that. So is it a space that you're going to go back and explore?
Yes. Or are you it felt really like, really almost like I shouldn't be there, but not that I shouldn't be there, but like nothing was there that, I can't remember what that sentence was going to be, but like almost like I didn't not belong there, but almost like, I didn't,
like you were,
sorry, say again,
like you were a visitor.
Yeah, like that space wasn't, I could only be there temporarily, so yeah, probably it felt very like underworldy, like because the canopy was so high up, because it was like in a valley, the trees were so tall. And like it was also really weird, because the stream, even though it's a very little stream, had a really, really steep bank. So like it was like a good 4 foot, 5 foot drop from the edge of the bank to the stream. And I couldn't actually get into the stream except this one point, because it was so deep. And like I went into this first entrance, and like I nearly slid down the side of the thing into this like deep stream that wasn't deep stream, it was just shallow water. But like it was very, I had to sort of like listen to my body, and I had to kind of like move around on all fours, because it was like so slippy that I had to sort of stop being human for a minute and just sort of like work my way out of there in like a kind of animal way. It was quite nice.
Oh, wow. That's, I'm romanticizing it, because I've read too many books like Myths of Avalon and stuff, but like you guys have some really intensely magical energy.
We do.
Over there, don't you? And like I think there's like some major ley lines and stuff.
I don't live near any ley lines, but like I've heard of this, and like I definitely think they are around. Like I'm in the West Midlands, and like I think the ley lines are like a bit more towards the southwest, but like there's definitely some like, it's really interesting. Like I love the sort of like magic that comes with the land and with the space. So like I think that's really interesting. But it was really nice to like find a space that felt really untouched, because like there's so much what people class as nature that is just like agricultural space that has been like completely just like every time I go into the field or into that space, it feels really like almost painful. Like I get a feel of like a really intense sort of like feeling of like a sort of, it definitely feels exploited, especially with the way that like pesticides and herbicides are used, and like the fact that the soil is tilled and it just doesn't let the sort of connections in the roots form with the other space. Like there's this the big oak tree in the middle of the field, but like how disconnected that tree must feel, because every time that the field is plowed, its roots get like disrupted, and like for that tree it must be quite isolating, because I imagine it probably connects deeper underground to the other trees around the edge of the field, but like it makes sort of like these connections with the plants that are in the field, and then every time the field gets plowed it just gets destroyed. Mm-hmm. It's really, it feels very heavy and like very like the oak tree told me ages ago, like this was the first tree that I ever spoke to and it was like, go no further on the land, and I was like, yeah, I think that we need to listen to that tree. Like it felt really like, it felt really, it feels quite almost like an act of violence every time the farmer's in the field.
Yeah, well, and like because we approach it now with these giant machines with all the blades, and you know, once upon a time it was such a like intentional, I would think more of intentional sowing and reaping,
or like respectful harvesting. As well, like they worked with the flow of the land and the moon cycles and like the seasons. And like they still do work with the seasons and stuff, but like not in the same way as it used to be. And like and where on the same day that I went out, oh no, it wasn't last week, it might have been that. I walked down the path that I was walking towards this secret wood by the brook, and it goes past a dual carriageway. And I think I can't explain it in any reason, but like the farmer had like cut the hedge, but had cut it in such a way that he'd cut it on all three sides with, and like just completely robbed the hedge all the way around this massive field of all the hawthorn berries. So like there would have been so much goodness there that would have fed the birds and stuff throughout the whole winter, and like it just wasn't available. And it's not like he'd let, like chopped them and they'd gone on the floor, like he obviously collected them in some way, and like it felt just like, it felt like an act of violence, it really did.
Yeah, well, and it's, we forget that like we are earth creatures and are supposed to work with the cycles and with earth, and like we aren't the masters of just taking what we want and destroying it all, right. We are. But I think we're learning those lessons right now.
In a very hard way, I think. You're right. And, like, it also, it felt very, like you say, like, these big machines, it felt very violent, because a bit further down there was this sort of area of trees, and, like, there had been, like, a tree that was obviously growing over just slightly. And the way that you could see that this, like, it obviously had been, like, this massive cutting machine. And it had, like, sliced the side of the tree off, like, of the trunk. And it was, like, really traumatic to this tree that, like, wasn't involved in the field at all. Like, and it was just so, like, unnecessarily horrible. Like, that, like, it hadn't been done in any, like, caring way at all. It was really destructive and it was really just horrible to witness. Especially heading into winter, where like a lot of creatures depend on that like space for shelter and stuff like that. It felt just horrible. Mm-hmm. 0 out of 10.
Yeah.
On that note, Is there anything else that you want to talk about? I want to ask about, were you going to say something?
No.
I was going to say, is there anything that you could or would be happy sharing? Like, have you ever had an experience that you couldn't explain and like, just sort of like, I don't know, want to share that?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many just little, well, and I mean, yes, and now I'm in this Reiki class right now, which is really like next leveling my connection and also just my intention.
I love that.
And so just the synchronicities and like my tarot pulls and stuff are all just like to the point of laughably synchronistic. Like you can't explain it or anything.
I love that.
And like right now it's 111, 111. But I'm trying to, like, I've had some like dreams and then stuff that comes true, but their stories are so personal that I don't ever share them.
Okay.
And it's because they're so mind blowing. But it just, the more you pay attention, the more stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Like I'm at the stage where anytime I was listening to a podcast, it would, reality would like mirror it back to me. Like my, like I was listening to it, and as someone on the podcast said, apple, my daughter walked up to me and asked for an apple. And then, like on another one, as the person said barf, I watched my child on the baby monitor roll over in bed and vomit all over the
lovely
bed.
That's great.
And ones that just like stacked up to the point that like my head was exploding.
I love that so much. And like I said that on my podcast with Mana, that like she said yarrow exactly the second that I picked up like some yarrow. And like the other day I was listening to Soberish and Jess was talking about I can't remember what it was that she was talking about, but like how people were going to connect with the earth and like nature. And my dad, who like he doesn't really like send a lot of attention anywhere else except his phone and the TV, like he literally said to me, Emma, this plant needs watering, or this plant needs like looks like it needs watering. And like I don't even think he knew that there was houseplants in the house. Like he's never mentioned houseplants to me at all except like last weekend. It was really, really weird. Like he only like just acknowledged that there was a presence of this houseplant, and like it just like synced up so nicely with this podcast. I was like, whoa, I love that.
I love it. Yes, I know. And it becomes so incredible and mind-blowing in your personal experience. But it's like there are little things that you can't explain to someone who doesn't
get
it.
Yeah. like you just go, oh my god, oh, and like, and everyone just be like, what's going on? And you're like, well, I looked this thing last week, and like you can't explain it because it doesn't sound, it just sounds like absolutely random, but like to you it's like, whoa, it's really significant.
Yeah, so here's one. In our Reiki class, we do different chakras each week. Mm-hmm. And I've never been able to see stuff in my intuition has never been one of my strongest mm-hmm. points. But I also acknowledge that because of all my Pisces placements, mm-hmm. I really shut down a lot of my intuition for survival purposes.
Yeah.
And I'm journeying back into figuring it all out.
That's cool.
And simultaneously healing all my mental health stuff, because turns out you can't just turn off large parts of your navel
cavity. What a concept.
And so my teacher had recommended, she said, okay, so picture the chakra you're meditating on as a lotus flower, and then when you feel ready, ask it to open and whatever is in it, like see what that tells you. And so I did that, and when it opened, it showed me an evil eye.
Wow.
Like those blue like symbols that ward off bad energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not something that like is normally ever on my radar. That's that came out of nowhere, and I'm sitting there googling it and reading about it when I remember. Okay, so this was for my sacral chakra, and I had read, sorry, rewind, in the write-up she said the sacral chakra can really hold a lot of emotion, and it's all about that womb space. And and I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I'm, you know, whatever. I'm a Capricorn rising. That's how I work. So I'm not worried about that one. And so I was sitting there Googling the evil eye. And then I was like, oh, I think my sister gave me one when she came back from a trip to Europe. And I went and found the one she gave me years ago in a box in my closet. And it was right next to a paw print of my cat who had died. And the emergency vet did a little paw print of her for me. And this was during my first daughter was like 10 months old. And it was a really intense period of time for me. And I was having a really hard time. And then my cat was young and like got some random health stuff that couldn't really be explained and died quickly. And so that was a very rough time period. So like I see the evil eye and then I pick it up and see the cat paw and just like immediately burst into tears. I'm crying for my cat and then I'm crying for like my postpartum experience. And like the sacral chakra is all about emotions and womb space, among other things. And so then I just start laughing because I realized exactly what just happened. One woman in my entire house that like seeing it would immediately trigger me to cry because like I'm not a and so it was hilarious. I just started laughing while I was crying.
I love that. I love that, like, even though like the evil eye thing like wasn't this, like the symbol might have just like it was the connection between the poor, but that's so cool. I love that.
It's been really interesting doing this Reiki class and just really trying to connect into like trusting that kind of stuff.
And like there's sometimes just no way of logicking it out either. Like I had Reiki for the first time earlier this year in February, and like it felt like I was being pressure washed on the inside with like energy, and like I really, really needed that. Like that was like, I was having a really tough time in February. Like me and my ex were having a bit of we had the first part of our breakup. And like, like I just felt like I needed like hosing down with all this like just gross stuff that I'd like was holding onto. And it was like just before the lockdown as well. So like it really helped me sort of be more centered going into the lockdown. Cause I think if I'd got into the lockdown sort of before, like how I was feeling before, it really would have not been a fun time. But I felt really like able to like embrace the time of the lockdown with like a different perspective. And then I had some recently for my birthday, and like she said that my energy was so different from last time she saw me. Like my like she said as soon as I walked in the room that like I just like my energy was huge. And then she was telling me how much my third eye chakra was like, she said she didn't even need to touch me because it was that like intense the energy was. And like I don't know if you've ever experienced this, like I get this thing where I close my eyes and sometimes it feels like I'm like falling infinitely, like falling sideways. And I had that whilst I was having Reiki on like one side, and she said that she felt something weird on that side when like I asked her about it. She was like, yeah, it felt really intense. And like I have no idea what it was. Like it happens to me randomly, like when I'm on the sofa or something. And it was kind of weird because normally in like if I was at home, I would just like open my eyes and like shake it off. But because I was in that Reiki like situation, I didn't feel like I could just like sit up and like shake it off. So I kind of had to like go with it and like ride it out and like fall into the falling. Like it felt like I was gonna fall off the table, but like it was really, really weird. And like it kind of went away by itself, but like it was kind of weird because like I didn't, even though I did obviously have a choice to sit up and like stop it, like I just decided that I wasn't gonna do that, and like I was gonna roll with it, and it stopped by itself, which was quite nice.
Yeah, I used to have something like that happen when I was younger. It hasn't happened in a long time, but yeah, those sort of things where it's like it feels weird and so you want to like snap yourself out of it, but then the other half of you is like, no, explore it, it's interesting.
It was interesting that it came up because like I was lying down for such a long time, but like it didn't happen at any other point. Like it was just like I don't know, like I think that the idea of like going with the sort of like what's happening instead of like fighting against it is like something that's coming up a lot for me at the moment. And like I think that can be really like expansive if you go with it instead of fighting stuff. And I think that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to cling to what feels safe and secure. Actually, interestingly, that's, yeah, your North Node, South Node.
I love
like
that.
The Taurus wants to stick with it, and the North Node and Scorpio is like, transformation!
Like, I didn't realize about North and South Nodes till like really, really recently. And then, like, I found out about them and I was like, oh my goodness, that makes so much sense.
Good. Yeah. Well, and your North Node is conjunct Jupiter, and Jupiter just expands anything it touches. So your North Node's like extra Scorpio-ish.
I like it. Because like my family is very like very practical, very like down to earth, like no sort of like spiritual aspect at all. And like I asked my nan the other day, like I was just out of curiosity, I was like, have you ever had like any experiences happened to you that you couldn't explain? And she was like, no, not at all, I'm very practical. Like, she was just like, I don't know whether she had or like what, she just, I don't know, like but like my mum's quite practical and like doesn't, I don't know, she doesn't really ever talk about anything other than like what's happening in the real world. So I feel like for me it's been like that was what like the energy I was brought up around, and then to sort of like me having to like find what it meant to be not always in the 3D, that like that aspect of myself, I think, is part of like my North Node, is that like I've been like exploring other dimensions, I guess.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, and actually seeing my mom with my daughters has been really interesting. It's brought a lot back for me to watch her, them say, I heard something, or like, what was that? And see her be like, there's nothing in the room. There's no one here. Yeah. No one could have heard. And I was like, I remember that from my childhood. And that's kind of, I'm sure that's part of what shut down all my Pisces stuff. Being like, oh, okay.
You're just imagining 3D. It.
Ground into the 3D as hard as we like cling to it with white walls.
And like the idea that like you're just imagining it when like, my sort of like imagination has been my connection to like the other worlds, and like the imagination is such a amazing tool to like work with if you want to like explore other stuff, and like just because you're imagining it doesn't mean it's not real.
Yes, like, your awareness, your consciousness and awareness is experiencing it. Well, and like as an artist, your imagination is so important.
And like I read this quote, I think, that was like, an artist is just a child that never, like, I don't know what's the quote. I don't think it was never grew up, but like, it was like someone who'd not clung on, that's the word, but like has managed to sort of maintain that connection with the like the inner child as they grew up into an adult, which I think is really like really appropriate and like very relevant. Because like I've been sort of like, I think I had the idea that like as an adult you have to be like very serious, and like for me realizing that I didn't have to be serious and I could integrate that like inner child and like playing and like having fun in stuff that like doesn't have to be boring adult stuff, that you can just like actually just enjoy yourself and like embrace joy even when you've got chores to do or like stuff like that, like that you can still approach stuff with like a curiosity that like children have. Like is it Page of Cups, I think Lindsay Max talks about it being like how are you playing, and like I really like that. That's sort of like idea.
I like that one with your midheaven in Leo, so that's the house that's associated with career and public, how you appear publicly and like your public contribution. With the midheaven in Leo, it's so important for you. Leo is about that inner child creativity,
like,
and enthusiasm
that.
And just like unbridled joy and fun in everything.
I like that.
And wanting to share it.
Oh, I like
share
that. I never really understood that, like what the midheaven or like my relationship to Leo was, because like I think if you've ever, like if you've had experience with a sign, if you've like dated someone, it can kind of leave like a weird taste in your mouth when you experience that. So like I didn't really know how to relate to Leo, so that like makes a lot of sense. I really like that. And like I think with my like work, I guess, as not necessarily what I've done in the past as an artist, but like, or maybe but like I want people to like look at the world in a different way and sort of question what they thought that they had to do or like have to think, like just kind of look at it from like a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's also, that comes, I think there's something here because we are needing to heal from that toxic masculine way of just approaching reality and heal into that sacred feminine and sacred masculine energy. But right now there's such a big surge in that, all that dark sacred feminine Scorpio in your first house of embracing the less like linear and structural side, like way of approaching life that have been taught is like the only way. But turns out we need to all be leaning into that yin feminine energy a little more and balancing it out.
I really like that. And like,
I'm just so intrigued by all the ancient civilizations that like lived by the land and with the land, and like the Anamundi of like understanding that spiritual connection to the consciousness and everything that so lost in our modern society and to our detriment.
And even like, even if like everybody didn't have like a personal connection to that, like I really like the idea that like there were people in their community that they could go to if they wanted to access that part of themselves, or like that like there was like that community that like different people had different strengths and they all worked to their strengths and like went to people if they needed like aspects of themselves or like help with that. And like I think there's something really really missing in our society where like we don't have that like village healer or like that village like intuitive. We don't always approach them, and I think I'm kind of like working on that. Like I've got like so it's kind of I like my mum's friends, I kind of, I guess in that way I'm like connected to some people in the village where I live, so like I've kind of been connecting with them in like a way that I've never have done before. So like I was talking with my mum's friend the other day about like therapy, because we both like had like some like different types of therapy and stuff, and then we ended up sharing all these books, and I was like giving her all these books that I absolutely loved, and she was like lent me some books and like that were really really nice. And like it's really nice that kind of in that way that we've been able to share something that I guess in a way my mum wouldn't, I don't know, like kind of. And also to another friend, when her daughter had like symptoms of COVID and they were isolating, so I took them, they needed some sugar, so I bought them some sugar from the shop, and then I took some honey and some ginger and some lemon to them, even though like I'm not sure if that actually helps with COVID, but the ginger tea bags had turmeric in. I think that's an antiviral possibly, I don't know, but like she said it really helped her with getting her taste back because she didn't have any taste, and then as like a way of thank you, they bought me a whole new jar of the honey, because the honey was like a local honey, so it wasn't like a supermarket honey. So it was really nice, like it kind of felt like a really nice energy exchange in that way.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you. I feel so warm and fuzzy. Sorry, what did you say?
That makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
Oh, it kind of felt like I mentioned to this my friend, we recorded the podcast today. I was like, I was saying if like society kind of fell apart and we didn't have access to like the doctors or the pharmacy, that I would kind of like try and approach maybe not like healing people directly, like I wouldn't be like, oh, I can cure everything, but like sort of like if people had things like minor ailments, I would like try and approach like that as like a way of healing, like try and heal, not heal, that's not the wrong way, but like use my knowledge of plants to help them. Even though I'm not like a certified healer or anything, I was thinking of doing maybe a herbology or like a medicinal herb thing, which I might look into a bit more.
Oh yeah, I think we're all going more back in that direction, away from the allopathic pharmaceutical stuff, because it's the way, I mean, since the beginning of time, humans have treated themselves with plants, and it's very like stuck up of us to assume that we can, and so many of the medicines are just synthesized versions,
right? And like especially like they're recently finding out that like elder berries have got like really strong antiviral properties, and like they're really looking into that, and it's like people have been using elderberries as like a cold and flu remedy for like years and years and years.
Yeah, everyone rolls their eyes so hard, mm-hmm. but like there's so, I'm sorry, I put more stock in like the ancient truths that have been healing people since forever, yeah. over like the, whatever medicine's 20 years
especially
old.
Like we've got all these like, and like these bacteria that are like antibiotic resistant now because we've just like gone absolutely crazy with antibacterial stuff. Like I was reading and listening to the Irish folklore podcast that I like, the Blarini Belladish, and they were saying that a lot of people used to keep a slice of bread that had mold on in their cupboard, and like they would use that to heal infected wounds, which I think is really cool, because like that was before people had access to antibiotics, that they were using penicillin without even knowing it, which yeah. I think is so cool.
It's so incredible, those like yeah old witchy women with all the weird herbs who we burned because they were witches, turns out they had all the answers.
Crazy. Like I don't know if I spoke about it on my podcast already, but like the other month, like for a while, like for quite a long time, I've had this thing where I get really anxious and really like I get really really cold, so like I tense up, and even if it's like there's nothing specifically to be anxious about, I get really really tense and really like I get really cold feet and really cold hands and really cold legs, and like it causes a lot of pain in my knees and my shoulders, and like I had this like sudden realization that I had been drowned as a witch in like a past life, or like it like just all of a sudden this like thought came to me, and I was like, that's what happened, that's why I'm so cold, that's why I'm like kind of nervous to share stuff. And like the thing is, that could be just like an imagination thing, but like it felt really like it resonated really intensely with me. And since that moment, since like acknowledging that, like it's actually been less intense, like I haven't had it that badly since. It's been really weird.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, I hear people talk about just past life memories just like coming to them, and the feeling is like with the synchronicities, like the feeling is there, but you, since your south node can indicate past life stuff, mm-hmm. and yours is conjunct Black Moon Lilith, mm-hmm. and Lilith is a very like darker, witchier feminine energy, mm-hmm. that does lend itself to operating in the shadows and like having that like dark feminine power and being witchy. So I would not be surprised if you're working through some witch wound, mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. There are so many magical people right now.
Thank you for sharing that. I think that's really like relevant and very important. Also like the Vesta, like when I think it was on the podcast with Mana that you spoke about that, and like I can't remember if it was you that said it or like when I looked into it myself, but like I didn't realize the Vestal Virgins, like that like they were not virgins in the way that we understand in our modern time, but like they used their bodies to like ritually cleanse people after they came back from war, which like super resonated with me. And like I kind of like I've kind of been working through some trauma that I have around like sex and stuff, and it's been really really I don't know, I feel really disconnected from that aspect of me, but like that super resonated with me. Like I kind of like it felt really like something that it probably wouldn't be something that maybe I engaged with in this lifetime, but it felt like something that I'd engaged with in my past, and it felt really like really resonated with me in the way, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it's so fun to, as with the book you're reading right now by Dimitri George, to explore other past understandings of that feminine energy, mm-hmm. compared to like what we're presented with culturally now, mm-hmm. and just to understand how it can manifest and be used so differently. And right now people who embody that energy are ostracized, mm-hmm. but once upon a time, like, it was sacred. And it's, yeah, so interesting to just explore all of that. That's really cool that, yeah, and you totally bet you had a past life as a Vestal priestess.
Like, that feels like, that feels very, like that idea of, like, sacred ritual and, like, being, like, a guardian of, like, in sort of, like, a sort of sacred, like, kind of being, like, respected in that way for, like, what sort of abilities you can bring to people in, like, a ritual aspect. Like, that really resonates with me. And, like, in a way, I think I heard somebody talk about Virgo being sort of like that idea of, like, ritual, kind of like earthy but also mercurial, like that kind of like sacred ritual, and like being sort of like the person who can do that sort of aspect of stuff. Because, like, I think I might have mentioned it to you that I felt really, like, disconnected from the idea of the Virgo being, like, virgin and, like, maiden. Like, that didn't really resonate with me. And me and my friend were trying to work through this because she's a Virgo as well, and we were talking about, like I kind of done a bit of research, and I thought that the idea of, like, the corn goddess really resonated with me, in terms of, like, Virgo. Like, I looked at the Empress card, actually. I thought that was really cool, and she doesn't necessarily associate with Virgo, but, like, the sort of symbolism, like, of the corn goddess and, like, the idea of the spirit of the corn being in the corn and, like, the harvest, and that, like Virgo being, like, the guardian, not the guardian, the guide for people into the underworld of, like, the death time of the year, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, well, and also Barbara Hanclow, who wrote a book about Chiron, and it's one of, like, the books people reference about Chiron, and you have Chiron conjunct your sun, so that's an important mm-hmm. energy for you. He suggests that Chiron is actually the ruler of Virgo, because Chiron brings in an element of that, like, service and healing of Virgo, but with a kind of higher healing energy in that, like, higher dimensional energetic awareness, like, you know, like Reiki.
He was like an immortal, wasn't he? Who, like, he got wounded, but, like, not enough to kill him, but enough that he couldn't heal from it. And he had all the, like, before that he was, like, a healer, and had asked, like, access to, like, all, like, plant knowledge of how to heal people. And then, like, he himself was wounded mortally, but, like, he was immortal. And, like, the idea that he had access to all this knowledge, but he still couldn't heal himself, which I think is really, like, super interesting. Like, I think that makes sense as well, that, like, that would be Virgo, like, another aspect of Virgo, because, like, Virgo having maybe access to, like, immortal knowledge of, like higher knowledge of healing. I think that's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that, just that exploration of, as, because the Chiron's the wounded warrior or wounded healer, and so as you explore and heal yourself, you gain so much knowledge that then you share it with others and help heal
them. That really resonates. And also, like, wasn't Chiron a centaur as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a centaur, and he was, because centaur are half human and half animal, they have the human aspects but then that animal nature, but Chiron was, like, the wiser, more rational, reasonable one of all of them, and the rest of them were kind of a little more in touch with their animal nature. And he was a great philosopher and teacher and healer and astrologer and all that, and he got shot with a poison arrow that he was unable to heal. So, and we all have some area of ourselves that's wounded that we're working on, and we can work through. Yours is just conjunct your sun, so it's the theme of your life, my dear, of consciousness.
Of what, sorry, consciousness?
It's your ego, or your sun is your ego and your consciousness, and so Chiron right there, just, it's a, you're very aware of it, and you have that energetic awareness, and also that healing energy and that desire to heal. Yeah.
And isn't the 11th, is it in the 11th house? Mm-hmm. Isn't that like Aquarius? Is that like rule, like
associated with Aquarius? Yeah, and it's more so that's your dynamic, like towards the collective,
like
towards people and networking. And so you could really be a part of groups that are doing their own healing.
That like really resonates. That's really cool.
And so, and I mean, all your Scorpio too. Scorpio is also very healer energy. So
I like that. In like a Plutonian kind of way.
Mm-hmm, and yeah, and intense, deep shadow work style healing.
Interesting, especially because Pluto is also in my first house, although it's in my second house, but in Scorpio.
Yeah, but barely, but yeah. So, well, and that just means that you, there's something about that soul evolution energy that you want to harness and make productive in some way, or a way to earn your income, or there's something about wanting to harness that into productivity.
Okay. That's interesting. Second house is ruled by Taurus, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Taurus is ruled by Venus. Mm-hmm. So maybe it also could be to do with like bringing in like that aspect of values and kind of like sharing that on the physical realm.
Yeah, it absolutely can be. Yeah, your values and definitely about what you value, and but it's kind of, it's with a more like tangible side of things.
Yeah.
Scorpio energy and the eighth house is more about like emotional and relationship values. Yeah, and very much like your relationship with your own values, with yourself. The second house is very much about yourself.
That's really interesting. I am going to wrap, well, I would like us to wrap this up shortly, but do you have any insights into like, I feel like Venus is something that keeps coming up at the moment. Like, I don't know if it's like a collective thing or if it's like just something that's coming up for me. Do you have like any like insights around Venus that might be happening at the moment? Don't worry if you don't know anything off the top of your head. Like,
Venus was just conjunct your sun on Tuesday on October 20th.
Yeah.
So it just went across your sun. So I'm not surprised that it was in your awareness.
Mm.
Venus is a tricky one. Venus is that yin energy, that traditional feminine, like nice. I think of Venus, the archetype, as the like nice wife and mother, the patriarchy puts on a pedestal, like that pleasant feminine energy.
Which is interesting because in a lot of the mythology that Venus isn't actually that nice, is she? She can be quite vindictive.
Yeah, well, and that can kind of go into the lower vibrational expressions.
But also at the same time, since reading Mysteries of the Dark Moon, I do not trust anything that like the patriarchy is telling me about like feminine energies.
Yeah, so it's taking, I'm trying to reevaluate my relationship with Venus and not just go with the like traditional astrological definition of her.
Especially because my Venus is in my first house, but also in Scorpio. Like, I feel like that, like the idea of Scorpio Venus, like it feels very like almost like Dark Moon Lilith to me. Like, it feels very like dark, but like very deep feminine.
It's an intense Venus placement. It definitely puts you very in touch with your emotions and your feelings and your intuition, that whole like watery spiritual realm of yourself, and also puts you very in touch with that dynamic with others, in relationship with others. And so you feel those interpersonal dynamics in a very deep, intense way.
That's interesting.
And it's also Virgo conjunct your Jupiter North Node there. So it's really expanded. Also, and it probably, you know, it can be a Venus in Scorpio can be a kind of compulsive energy, really almost in touch with subconscious urges, and pulls. Scorpio, the Scorpio water goes deep and can go dark, and it can
darkness isn't necessarily a bad thing.
It goes into the dark side of things that our like modern society is so scared of, but is ultimately a part of the life cycle. If you are afraid of the darkness and the hard times, the dark times, the death, all of that that forces you to release to then make room for the new, if you're pushing away that dark, you never grow and transform. And that is so much of your North Node in Scorpio, is being comfortable with that transformation and accepting that things have to fall away and die and decompose to then compost to allow the new growth to be fertilized and to grow. And that's a deep energy for you.
I really like that. Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. It's been super expansive, I guess, in that way. Like, really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. I forgot how much I like talking to you until I listened to your podcast. And like, you have the, like, it's such a, like, pleasant, easy, I mean, it's your Libra. It's your Libra.
I'm blushing, stop.
You have all the work, though, but your Libra makes it gentler.
Oh, that's really sweet.
So it was really nice to talk with
you. It was really nice to talk. I really, really appreciate you sharing all of this. Like, it's so much magic. And, like, I feel like you're, like, a translator for all this magic that happens in the stars.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. It is. And you're like, clients of your nature are my favorite because they can suspend disbelief, and they aren't sitting there waiting for me to prove something, but are like, I acknowledge that there's something there, and I just want to understand how it's all like falling into place with my experiences.
Oh, that's really nice.
Conceptualize when I say like multidimensional awareness, you're just like, yeah, what you mean.
I feel like if you'd said that to someone like maybe my mom or something, she probably would be like, what on earth? Like, it must be a lot harder to maybe work with people that maybe don't have that. Like,
yeah, I don't really appeal.
I understand. I could understand.
I like put my woo out there, even though it's uncomfortable.
And then it brings the sort of people that you want to resonate. With you in. That's really cool. Yep. No, thank you so much for sharing all this. It's been really, really, like, I feel like you're kind of like a tour guide. Like, you're not a tour guide, but like, you're like a guide to all this, like,
big stuff. Thank you so much for
saying that. It feels really like you've sort of like, you've gone up there to like explore the planets, and then you've come back and you're like back to Earth, and you're like, this is what this means. And I'm like, that really is what it means. I love it.
Well, this is so ancient. Like, there's validity there. It's hard to comprehend.
And like, the amount of, like, I don't know, I'm sure you probably have, like, if you ever like gone outside on a dark night and like looked up at the stars and just like been like, oh my god, I'm just like, this also, like, apart from the connection to like ancient, like, people who have done that for hundreds and thousands of years, but also like, it just kind of completely takes you away from like your earthly experience. It's just like, there is so much more that exists that isn't on the earth. It makes like it makes like your like part-time job seem less stressful.
I was gonna say, it puts you in perspective.
It really does. It really does. I really love that. Oh, thank you so much for sharing all your information. I love it. Oh, brilliant. Do you have any names of books that you could possibly email me that I can put in the show notes that you might have mentioned? Yeah. Or like people that Absolutely. Maybe people should look up.
Sure, that's my favorite thing to share resources.
Super, so thank you. And I will put your link to your website and your Instagram and stuff in the show notes. You are Begonia Moon on Instagram, aren't you?
Begonia.moon and then queenofwandsastrology.com.
And I would highly recommend that people, if they found this really interesting, I would highly recommend that they go over to you to have a birth chart reading, because really, really lovely. Really, really interesting and exciting, and like, I love it. Thank you so much. I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.